Amen. What a tremendous time of ministry. Amen. It's, till I've been so blessed over it, especially last night and even today. Like, I mean, really, God has been challenging me, touching me, speaking to me, shaking me, stirring me up. And, like, last night, I drove home just on a high, a Holy Ghost high. Do you know what I mean? And then I just traveled in here this morning. And like, God has just been stretching me. And what a brilliant initiative to have to come and just spend time with God. Take time out and say, "Listen, Lord, I'm committed to Friday night and Saturday day, Lord, just to you, me and you together. I'm committed to be ministered to for you to reach out to me and me to reach out to you." And I tell you, God responds to that, guys. God reacts to faith. He responds to that. He's like, my son at home, when he does something good, I light up. And God is the same, and He lights up when we walk towards Him, and when we seek Him, and we're committed to Him. And I've been really being blessed, and Peter's been blessing me this morning, and Louise, and just a tremendous time of ministry. And what I've been given to talk about was forgiveness, and I'm glad that I was given this subject, because it's something that I have, I suppose, struggled with over the years, is to accept that God can actually forgive me. It's not an easy thing to do, to accept that what God can do for you, even when you remember the past and remember what you've done, and you know what I mean? You can trawl through all the sins of your life, and you can come to a point where, God, how could you forgive me? And sometimes, we let that residue hang over us when we bring it into our Christian life. We allow that residue of guilt to come in with us. And God says, no, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation. And we can hear that hundreds of times, and it just has no resonance with us. It just doesn't get in there. And part of what I'm trying to do this morning is I want that to get in there. Because there's tremendous freedom when we can realize as human beings and as children of God that He holds nothing against us. I remember Peter saying a while back that God has no problem with us. And it was so simple what Peter said. God has no problem with us. The issue is being dealt with. We have the problem with us. And we allow condemnation to enter in. And we allow the guilt, you know what I mean? And we pick things, we nitpick at ourselves. And when we come to God, and even last night, I felt that I said, "Lord, I'm just going to surrender this weekend to you. Father, I thank you and I appreciate what my pastor and the ministry team are doing in this church, and I'm going to let them do it. I'm going to surrender and give it all." And it's as I say, a tremendous thing that, when we step forward and just confess that to God, "Father, minister to me, set me free in some way." And I nailed sins to that cross down there that I deal with. And I say, "Father, deal with it. I give it to you, Lord. I hand it to you." And there's such a breakthrough there. Such a ministry and such a beautiful thing. Part of what I want to speak on is Psalm 32 this morning, guys. If we can just turn there. Psalm 32. And if you're going to write three headings in your notes there, write forgiving, process of confession, and forgiving. There are three points that I want to bring in. Forgiving, process of confession, and forgiving. These are three points that I want to bring out this morning. I'm going to break down Psalm 32 into sections, and I'm going to bring out the Word of God into our hearts. So, Father, Lord, I embrace your Word. Father, I embrace what you're trying to do here today. Father, I thank you for the ministry of this church. And, Father, I say yes and amen. Now, God, I ask you to come and anoint me. Father, fill me with what you want to say. Father, come and anoint my tongue, Lord God. I have nothing, Lord, but in you I have everything. And Father, I bring it to you, Lord. You are my victory. You are my anointing, Lord God. I am a vessel in your hands, Father. Use me, Lord, in these 20, 25 minutes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Psalm 32 goes like this, and just the first section of it, okay? 1-3. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I was listening to Peter earlier on, and he started preaching my sermon. And, you know, it was good, but I was getting nervous. And I was saying, is there anything left for me, Peter? But, you know, I want to just recap on that. What is sin? And let's go back to what Peter was talking about earlier on about Adam and Eve. Now, and it's right what Peter was saying, that there was a spirit that's connecting us all and what we're bringing here these last night and today. You know, there's a current going through it that God wants to say something, and God has to say it, and he builds it all in us. And it's nearly like we're all saying the same thing, but in a different way. And it's true, and it's even what Louise was saying this morning, and not what you were saying last night. It's exactly what I was saying, and in my heart. And, you know, going back to Adam and Eve, you see, God said, when God created the world, he said, it is good. When he created everything that we see, you know, the planets and the stars and everything that's in existence, and you look into the human body and the heart and the mind, and even if you look closely into the eye and what it's made up of, it's a miracle. Everything is a miracle. And you look into the animal kingdom, you know, and the more they discover about the animal kingdom, the more amazed they are, the more confounded they are. And you look at the scenery and everything, the foliage and all that, and God said it is good when he created that. He spoke that into existence, boom, and there it was. You know, over a period of 6 days, he spoke that into existence. And then, you know, the creme de la creme, what was it created for? It was created for us. So God prepared the ground, the environment, the atmosphere, everything. He created it for us to live in, to have our dwelling. And you know what I mean? And that speaks right into my self-esteem, straight away, into who I am, my identity. That this whole existence, this whole world is for me, was created for me. And God gave me authority. He gave Adam authority. He says, name everything that I have created. And imagine just handing that authority over to Adam. Name everything. I give you authority to name it as you see it. And you know, he gave him the authority, and then he laid down the law. He challenged man's free will, and that's where we get the tree in the middle of the garden. It was challenging man's free will. I said, you cannot eat of that tree. I've given you everything, but in that tree you cannot eat of that fruit. You know, and it challenged the who is the Lord? Who is the Lord God? You know, and he challenged Adam and Eve. He says, are you bound down to me? And obey me, and don't touch that fruit. So, coming back to that, God said it is good, but he said about Adam and Eve, it is very good. Okay, so to imply that, he said it is very good. They were perfect. There was nothing lacking in them. But you see, the devil came along and he spun that lie, and he said, "Hold on, you're imperfect." When God said, "No, you're perfect. You have everything you need." And he believed that lie, and Eve took of the fruit because she wanted to be more perfect. She wanted something to be added on to her when she didn't need something. They didn't need anything to be added on to them. They had everything. And he believed that lie, and sin entered into the world. And that's where we have the beginning of sin. And then straight away, you have in Genesis, you have the count there where God said that I am going to put, you know, enmity between your seed, the woman's seed. In other words, that he's going to crush... you know, you're going to crush his head and he's going to crush your heel. And that, straight away, God had a plan. And that was, you know, that was what Christ was to come. And even to the point where Eve, when she had Cain, Cain's name is translated as the one hoped for. She believed that Cain was the one to come and to bring enmity, but he wasn't. And sin entered into the world, and you can see the progression of sin. And you can see man right up to the flood where God said, he was, as Peter was saying, he was grieved that he created man. So, you know, sin is there, and sin is an issue, and sin is the gap between us and God, and sin has to be dealt with. And sin, there's no, as Peter was saying, there's no hiding place from it. There's no hiding place from sin. There is an issue going on, that sin has to be dealt with. And there, we'll bring it back to Psalm 32, where David says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven him." Now, give you a bit of history of this psalm. It's a psalm where a year prior to that, David had sinned against God with Uriah and Bathsheba. He killed them out, and he murdered them. He caused men to kill him out in the battlefield. And he held this sin against himself for one whole year, the Bible scholars tell us. And, you know, he didn't confess it. He kept it inside him. His body wasted away. And you know what I mean? He struggled with this sin for, the scholars tell us, one whole year. And we move down into the tree. It says, when I kept silent, in the verse 3, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then, going into verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions, Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. David expresses here that blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven him. Because he's had to go through a year where he felt unforgiveness. He's had to be to a point where his bones are wasting away from him. He's had to be to a point where he was sapped of all his energy and all his strength. He understood the unforgiveness of sin. But when he confessed his sin, he was blessed. He came to a point of blessedness. And Jesus, when you go into Matthew 5, and Jesus talks about the Beatitudes, blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is he who suffers on my account. You can read that, it's in Matthew 5. All the blessedness. But the true blessedness begins when man understands that his sins are forgiven. That's where it begins, guys. That's why David said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven him. And guys, we must realize that today. And don't go away from this weekend not understanding that. That the beginning of all blessedness, the beginning of all, in other words, all joy, peace, happiness, prosperity, oneness with God, you know what I mean? That we can move on in life begins when we understand that our sins are forgiven. When we understand that God made a way. We understand that there's no blockage now anymore. The sin of Adam and Eve has been dealt with. You know what I mean? There was a special dispensation unto David and the people in the Old Testament. Peter talked about it earlier on, about faith made them righteous. That they looked to the cross. But we look back at the cross. You know what I mean? The Bible says that the prophets and kings, they all longed for this day where they could see the working out of what God was doing. Where they could see the plan. Can you imagine the day, Christ came to the earth? You know what I mean? And the plan was being instigated when the baby, Mary had the child and we're coming into Christmas. Can you imagine the heavenly realm and the activity going on? Wait, this is it. This is what God talked about in the garden. It's happening, guys. It's happening. And Christ came to the earth and man tried to destroy him. He tried to kill him. He had to move. You know what I mean? And straight away the devil was after him, trying to cut him down. And we see it all through the ages. We see the working out of God. We see the will of God. And people don't get this. It's God's will that we will be forgiven. He willed it from the very beginning. I will bring enmity in your seed and your seed. I have a plan. I have a working out. It's God's will that we will be blessed. Blessed is he. Blessed the Beatitudes. Read and match it. The only blessing comes within God, in the will of God. That's where true blessedness comes. And we see through society, the thing that cuts me up nowadays, and it's very prevalent nowadays, is that society tries to say that there's no sin. You know what I mean? It's just, sin is an old-fashioned word. That, if you start talking about sin, you're back in the day. And society thinks that it's moving on and progressing. There's no such thing as sin. You know what I mean? What's that? Nature and nurture. You know what I mean? How you're reared. All that kind of stuff. But it's madness. It's a lie. It's the fig tree. Or the fig leaf. Covering up, as Peter said. You know what I mean? The first symptom of sin in the garden was that they were ashamed of their body. And God said it's very good. You know what I mean? The first thing they looked at themselves and they were ashamed of who they were. They were ashamed of their nakedness. And they tried to cover it up. In God's mercy, he came to them and he covered them up with animal skin so that death came into the garden through sacrifice. And it was a type of what's to come. You see, and you see it in the law. The two tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments, they were put into the mercy seat and the cover was put on the mercy seat. So it was covered the sin of man. Handwritten by God. Declared by God. this is your sin. And the mercy seat covered. And it was all a type, guys. And when you look at it, the Old Testament, it's a shadow of what was to come. Everything is a type of Christ. If you read every chapter in the Old Testament, Christ is in there somewhere. What God is going to do is going to be brought out, and it's in there. And when you see that being covered up in the garden, being covered up, it's what was to come. That Christ was to give his body. He was to be the sacrifice that we may be covered up. That we may be clothed in the garment of righteousness. And I love this. I'm going to bring it to this point. That we are clothed in righteousness. That we, when God sees us, he doesn't see me and the old me and the nature that Peter talked about earlier on. Because that nature has been dealt with. We are born of an unperishable seed, the Bible says. We are born again of the Spirit. That old man is dead. And we now live in Christ. And when he sees us, he sees Jesus. He sees the work of the cross. We're clothed in his righteousness. He doesn't see that man anymore. And it's a great thing, guys. It's freedom, it's liberty in that. When the devil comes to condemn you, when people come and say, oh, you're not good enough. I am good enough. But what he done is good enough. And I find great freedom in that, because for years I struggled with trying to be good enough. For years I struggled with trying to be clothing myself in the righteousness. You know what I mean? And struggling. And so legalistic at times. And Nolan Sharon will tell you. I was so, you know what I mean? And it's only in the last couple of years that I've been coming out of that, because God has been ministering to me and taking that out. But slowly, you know, he just doesn't come and reefer out of you. He slowly ministers to you. And I get great freedom to understand that you know, that I'm covered in the righteousness of Christ. It's what God has done. That I can now walk boldly in life. Amen? Amen. What I want to go into next then is the process of confession. And we go back to verse 5, right? Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with deliverance. So we've gone to a place where God has made a way. God has forgiven us. God, you know, God will forgive us as we confess our sins. But we also must acknowledge our sin. You know what I mean? We can't go from day to day thinking, I'm perfect. And I know that's kind of a bit of a paradox there, but we have to acknowledge that there is error in our life. You know, I could search for different words, but there is error in our life. There is sin that crops up. There is things there where we fail. There's issues that we deal with that sometimes get the victory and sometimes we get the victory, and it's a constant working out. And the worst thing to do is not to acknowledge that and keep on going and hardening our hearts to that. I'm a firm believer now to keep a close confession with God. Keep a close record. Don't let things run away from you. You know what I mean? Don't try and hide them. You know what I mean? And callous your heart and harden your heart to them. Acknowledge what sin is. And people describe sin as being like a huge big like target board. And in the center is the bullseye. And the bullseye is the will of God. And sin then is that when we fire our target, we just miss the bullseye. Or we miss the target. And that's what, you know, that's what you liken sin to be, is missing out on the will of God for your life. And you know what I mean? One of the exercises that we need to do is we need to examine our hearts and say, God, what is your will for me? Is your will that I continue in what I'm doing? You know what I mean? When we come to God and there's, you know, there's certain, I came to God many years ago as, like, many of you heard my story of a young drug addict. And the first thing that God wanted me to do was give up drugs. And that was a given. You know what I mean? That was the first thing that he dealt with. The second thing that he dealt with was sin in my heart. And the next thing he dealt with was bitterness. The next thing he dealt with was unforgiveness. You know what I mean? And it's a constant thing, and he's still dealing with, there's still issues going on. I nailed some of them to the cross today. But I'm acknowledging them. David says, I acknowledged my sin to you, God. Where a year previous he didn't acknowledge it. He wasted away. The Bible says that he howled and groaned like an animal. Because it so cut him up He knew he was doing wrong. He wouldn't confess it. And, you know, a lot of churches and a lot of people don't preach this, but holiness, there is a principle of holiness. There is, we are separate from the world. And you know, sometimes, and I hate to say this, but sometimes I go down and I'm dealing with Christians that are coming to church for months and years, and I talk to them downstairs, and I hear their language, and I hear their attitude, and I'm saying, they're just not getting it. And I'm not trying to be a holy fogey or anything like that, but they're just not getting it because they're not moving into the blessing of God. They're not acknowledging what's wrong. You know what I mean? They're not acknowledging their attitude. And I'm not being judgmental here because I was one of them. But what I'm saying to you is, as we've been ministered here today, that we can acknowledge that. That we can't. We won't be ignorant of that. We search our hearts and say, my language isn't great, God. How do I deal with that? Where do I go with that? The first thing, I'll tell you how I knew I was a Christian. I was in rehab, and I had the most foulest tongue you can ever come across. I was really filthy in my language, and really, you know, I was really vindictive and all that kind of stuff, you know. And how I knew I was Christian was, we were sitting there one day having dinner, and I reached over for the bowl of peas, and it was roasting hot, and I didn't realise, and I grabbed it with two hands, and I burned the hands off me, and I went, praise God. And all the guys, one guy in particular says, God is ministering to you. He didn't swear there. I know you wanted it. And it didn't come out. And I knew straight away that God had broken something in me. And I knew, because I acknowledged it to him and I asked him to. And I knew straight away that I was moving on in the purposes of God. That you know, God was doing something in me different. That he was taking me out and letting me be separate and showing me, I can minister here and I can do that and I can change you here and I can change you here. And it's the same with our own lives. As we move on and progress in God, we need to acknowledge that this needs to be dealt with to move on. That we can't let this hang over us anymore. We can't let this sin keep tripping us up. We must deal with it now, this minute, now. You know what I mean? Let's leave it till next week, or I'll ask someone to pray about it next. No, deal with it now. Don't move on. You know, I want this dealt with now. I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I don't want to keep acting the way I'm acting. And I tell you, it's not just a legalistic thing, guys. It's moving on into the blessings of God. Because, you know, this is where, from David going to a place of, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped, right? He moves from one rhetoric to another. Therefore, let everyone who was godly, you know, you understand the change? The change from being dead in your sin and being wasted away to all of a sudden, we have this, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you. While you may be found, surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me and surround me with songs of deliverance. And that's what happens, guys. There's a principle at stake here, that sin must be dealt with, that we must accept the forgiveness of our sins, that we must acknowledge our sin and give it unto God, that we can move on into this place of blessing. And God says, the rhetoric turns from David giving a command that here is where the blessing is, to then God telling David what I will do. Is I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And the sin is being broken here now, guys. We're moving into a new realm. We're moving into a realm of freedom here where God can move and minister to us because we've dealt with it and we've acknowledged something that God wanted to deal with. God wanted to deal with the sin that David had in his life. He murdered Uriah. He wanted that dealt with. He wanted him to move on and be king of Israel again. But he had to confess it. And it's the same rule in our lives as Christians. I don't care if you're a Christian a week or 20 years. You have to move on and process things and keep going and things so God can get in there and minister and break through. And God forbid that we would be a blockage to God. God forbid that I would stop God in his tracks and what he wants to do. So God turns around and says to David in a prophetic manner, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. And what happens is David was that mule. He had to be led for a whole year, scholars teach, by bit and bridle. He was brought into a place where of repentance, dragged in, with his bones wasting away and his body going to nothing. And so God instructs him, and he uses that experience to instruct others. Don't be like that. Don't be like the beast, you know what I mean, the foolish beast that has to be led from here to there and everywhere. Be quick to confess your sin. Be quick to acknowledge that this is wrong. My language is terrible. I'm not going to do it anymore. Be quick to say that, oh, my attitude is terrible. If I go to this or that or do that, this is where it's going to lead me. And be quick to say, no, God, I'm not doing it anymore because I don't think it's what you want me to do. Be quick to acknowledge that. Don't be, you know what I mean, constantly being dragged in and dragged around like you know, with bit and bridle, like a dumb animal. You know, God gives us a warning here. Be quick to confess our sin. Be easy, because there's a blessing in it. He says, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad your righteousness. Sing all you who are upright in heart. And it's a beautiful principle, guys, to be upright in heart. It's a beautiful thing to have that peace with God. Peace that transcends all understanding. Confessing your sin unto God. Receiving that beautiful, tremendous forgiveness. All their sin. And I believe this in all my heart. And it came out in that book, The Classic Christian. And a lot of people don't preach this. But I believe in the principle that all my sin is forgiven, past, present, and future, going forward. It's already been dealt with. The sin has been dealt with. But as we're moving on in God in our walk, we need to confess what's dragging us down. Get that principle into our hearts. Things that block up what God is doing, the flow of the blessing, is unconfessed sin. It's me hanging on to something. It's me trying to cover it with my own righteousness. And that will hinder the flow of what God is doing. It will hinder the flow of growth in your life. Believe me, because I've been there. You know what I mean? I've gone for months and months and months with this, guys. And it's someone, you know, I'm giving my heart to you here, that has blocked what God is doing. And as soon as, as soon as I confess that God was in there like a light and forgive me of sins, God, you know what I mean, God is more ready to forgive our sins. He's more passionate to forgive our sins than we are to confess them. He's like at the door, quick, say, confess it. And the principle is that he can move in there. Not because the sin has already been dealt with, and glory to God, and that's the mystery of the gospel, that he's already dealt with it. But as children of God, as we move on in a relationship with him, he needs to hear that confession. He needs to get in and minister there and bring repentance around. And repentance means we've gone from one direction, turning and going another way. But God can only do that as he ministers to you, as you confess it, as you desire him, as you surrender to him, as you give everything to him. Father, David says, search my heart. Know me, Lord. And that's the cry of the Christian. Search my heart. Know what sin is in there and bring it out of me, God, because I don't want anything to block what you want to do in my life. I'll finish on this. That song that we sang there, it's a beautiful song, Majesty by Delirious. There's a verse in it which goes, forgiven so that I can forgive. God talks about, Jesus talks about the man who goes to the king, and he owed the king, I don't know, it was 20 talents or something like that. But if you weigh it all up, right, I'm finishing this. I don't know how I'm doing with time. I'm finishing this, right? If you weigh all up what the man owed, wind it up, what the man owed, he could never have ever paid it back. It was so much wealth, and he owed it to the king, he could never, ever, ever have paid it back. Okay? But the king says, forget about the debt. It's wiped away. It's wiped clean. Go, you back to your family. Okay? So, the first person the guy meets is one of his servants who owes him a drachma. Nothing. Something that's nothing. It's valueless. Like a cent is today. And he had the man put in prison over the drachma, over the penny. And guys, Jesus brought that story to the people because it's exactly what we do. Now get this, and don't get me wrong, try and forgive people that have hurt you is the hardest thing, because I know about it. It cuts you up, but it's the drachma. That's what we're doing. I have been forgiven so much in my life. How could I hold back forgiveness from others? And guys, when you get that principle into your heart, the liberty, the freedom, the encounter with God is amazing. It moves you on so much that forgiving so that I can forgive. And don't forget that principle. Take that away with us today, guys. Knowing that we're forgiven, the process of confession and forgiving others. Three simple principles to hang on to. Amen? Amen. We're gonna what I want to do, right, in our time of ministry is I want us just to reflect. Now, I don't want us to go digging, as Peter says. Don't go digging. But I want us to just, if we have unconfessed sin, and guys, let's not get all hot and bothered about this, because this is, God is getting into the meat of things here, I believe. If there's issues in our life that we know is wrong, and sometimes there's issues in our life that we don't, how can I stop doing it? Because it's the way I live, or I need to do it to live, or things like that. And the devil will come in and he'll spin the lie in the yarn. Now you have to keep doing that, because you can't exist without that. And it's a lie. Anything that's a sin before God, God will forgive it, and he will give you a way out. He just doesn't leave you there dry, high and dry. He gives you a way away from it. Like when I, come back to me, when I was a young drug addict, all I knew was drugs. How am I going to live without drugs? How am I going to live without my sin? And until I got over that obstacle, and then I knew it was a revelation, of course I can live without it. God is my life now. And sometimes we can get trapped in a sin and we can think we can't get away from it, but we can, guys. Of course we can. And let's just reflect on that. Father, let's use that principle that David used. Search my heart. Bring whatever you need to bring out, God. Use this time. Let it not be wasted. Let me understand that forgiveness, Lord. Let me know that all my sin is forgiven me. Past, present and future. David says that there's no, that in whose spirit there is no deceit. And the old King James goes that who there's no guile. And what that means is you have to be honest with yourself. Guile means to deceive and to hide. And that's what David done for the year. He deceived himself and he hid from his sin. And he tried to say it's not a sin. The world will tell you there's no such thing as sin. You can go and do what you like. As the Nike ad says, just do it. Just sleep around. Just be bitter. Just trick people. Just rob people. So there's no sin. If you get caught, it's your own fault. You know? And don't be duped by that. Be honest with yourself. Be brave. And confess it and say, God, I want this dealt with. I want this dealt with, Lord. And then in turn, just start forgiving people. This is heavy, guys, but start forgiving people that have done things on you. Just start letting them go. Because you have, Lord, I will. Just say that to yourself. Because you have, I will. And just release it onto yourself and your spirit and say, God, yes, I forgive them. I forgive myself, God. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive it. And let's just take a moment. Just let that. The presence of God is tangible in this room. Has been since last night. He's here. He wants to minister.